As I stated, I'm Dori, your host. I started my path with Psi Seminars by attending the basic in April of 2000 and completed my advanced courses later that same year. I'd like to be the first to welcome you to the December conference call, where we'll be talking tonight about goal setting, about building a solid foundation for 2011 and beyond. Now, after the lesson, you will have an opportunity to ask questions, so stay on the call. Tonight, we will have three great people that will be speaking on this topic. We'll have Teresa Corbett, Dan Gibbons, and Jane Wilhite. So stay on the call because we'll have several great opportunities to learn some lessons this evening. First, I have the honor of welcoming Ms. Wilhite to the call. She is the president and chairwoman of the Board of Psi Seminars, a co-founder of the company, and a visionary in every sense of the word. Her commitment and dedication to personal growth and human potential is evident throughout her company and with the hundreds of thousands of graduates who have taken the courses offered by Psi Seminars. I am so grateful to have her join us on the call tonight and have her share some of the tools she uses in her life to set goals and to create exceptional results. Jane, are you on the line? Ms. Jane, are you on the line?
Sorry. Hi, Dori.
Hi.
Sorry, I was talking to you, but I had mute on.
Well, that happens sometimes, you know. Believe me, I've had my share of technical difficulties on this call before. So I'm just glad you're on the line because I know that we have many people that are very excited to hear what you have to say this evening.
That's good. That's good. So hi there, everybody. How you doing on this wonderful December in 2010? As we look back on 2010, I know we're talking about goals and what we need to look forward to, but I'd like to spend a moment, and I hope you do, is to look back and pat yourself on the back for 2010. For some people, it was a great year, but for so many people, it wasn't the greatest year that we've had in the last 10 or 15 years. So give yourself a big yeah, boy, for, you know, just making it through 2010. And give yourself an attaboy for those things that you took on, that you did, that you're proud of. Just kind of make a note that you're going to take some time and spend that time with you about how great you are and how much you give. And thanking God for such a wonderful life. It's so, look back and be a little grateful because we spend so much time beating ourselves up. So tonight we're going to speak about goal setting. And, you know, we kind of all know how to set goals. I mean, we've been setting goals since we were like six. Some people do it better than others. Some people do it fantastically. Some people don't do it so fantastically. So tonight's goal for me is to perhaps give you a different way of looking at your goals. And then we're going to have great with Teresa and Dan. They're going to come in with a whole different way to look at goals. So I think tonight you're going to get something for you. You know, goals are, and we've heard for years, you know, you think about what you want. You got to want it. Then you write it down, you get specific, you take your huge, huge goals and you break them down to small, doable goals. And then make up your daily checklist so that you know you're on target. And then the work begins. Then you start to work your goals. When we think about goals, we usually put them in categories. You know, always usually first is career, financial, education, physical. That's standard. What about setting goals in the other areas of your life? I'm not saying not to look at the financial and physical, but don't forget about the family, the artistic goals, like what do you want to create that that you're creating, maybe with your hands or a musical instrument or something? What's the artistic goals that you want to create this year? And how about don't forget your pleasure and your vacation goals? You know, the ones that where do you want to go this year on vacation? Where do you want to take your family? That's got to be high up. And how about the just me goals? The meditation goals. How many times are you going to meditate? Where are you going to meditate? How long are you going to meditate? Are you going to meditate with tapes or yourself? You know, it's so easy to look at the goals like financial and physical, but not the me goals. And I would suggest so strongly that you're the motor, you're the engine. You got to keep you happy. You got to keep you excited, and you got to keep you positive. And sometimes that's just going to a movie because you want to go to the movie by yourself. Sometimes that's sitting and reading a book because you want to read it. And no, it's not about transformation, and it's not about how to do this or how to do that better, but it's just a book that makes you feel good. So don't forget the goals that you set for other areas of your life. You know, a friend of mine, Herbert Harita, used to tell me about this thing he did every year. And I was in Hawaii with him one time, and I saw him. They took all the kids together, the six kids and mom and dad and Kaola and Herbert, and they would sit down the first of the year, and the whole family would write down their goals. I thought that was wonderful because they could help to keep each other accountable. And they also knew what the others were working on. I thought that was a great idea, and I initiated that with Janessa right after that when she was growing up. This is another thing. You know, family, as we all know, is there, and sometimes it's not. And friends are there, and sometimes they're not. And I think sometimes we don't give enough time to our friends and our family. You know, my brother Ed Corwin, who passed away a couple years ago, he came from Nebraska to run the ranch, and we were so close, but we never spent any time together because we worked together. One day I kind of sat up in bed and I went, you know, I don't spend any time with him. So I went down and we sat down and made a goal that once a week we would go either to breakfast or we'd go to lunch or we'd take a ride. And we would just spend some time together once a week. And once a month, we'd head off. Anything to get away from the ranch, okay? When you live up at Clear Lake Oaks, it's kind of like, is there any stores around? In fact, just to make ourselves feel good, we named Walmart Nordy's by the Lake. But I would take Ed, and we would go to Santa Rosa, or we'd go to Sacramento, we'd drive to San Francisco, we'd do something once a month. And you know, when he died, I was so glad that we did that. So that could be a goal of yours in 2011, is to spend quality time with your family or your friends, at least once a month, to sit down and really give them to you and have them give themselves back, you know? Okay, so if I can stray off the how to set goals for just a moment and talk with you about the process, about what the process is rather than the how. When you say goal, most people get a pit in their stomach and say, oh my God, I don't want to do that. So often we set too many goals. We set them without enough thought. We set them too quickly. We set them because we think that we should set them. And so often they are not our goals. They come out of desperation, not out of passion. The desperation is because we need to do whatever. So then we need the goal to do it. We need to make more money. So the goal is to make more money. It wasn't set out of passion. It was set out of desperation many times. And those goals, without passion and without eagerness and without excitement, will never last out the month, never. And that's why we kind of set goals January 1st and January 15th. They're all gone. So how about thinking about a couple of your goals right now? And if they don't rank like an 8 or a 9 on the passion scale, like you would walk a million miles or failure is not an option on those goals, you right now know that perhaps they're great thoughts, but they shouldn't be your goals because you have not created the passion in you to have the commitment to follow through on them. You already know that now. If you've got a goal that your passion thermometer is not up to an 8 or a 9, forget it. It's not going to happen. I mean, you're going to drudgery. You might drudge yourself through for months, but it's never going to give you joy. Goals are also about giving our word to ourselves that we will do something, whatever that is, something. When we break our word to ourselves, we create a never-ending hammer to be used on us by us. Tom used to say that we get up every morning, pull out our hammer, and start beating us up all day. When we get up, we're kind of faced with, oh, my God, I was supposed to get up an hour earlier. I didn't. I had a goal. I said I was going to get up early. I was going to exercise for half an hour. And then this starts all over again. You know, if I had a wish for you, I would have a wish that you have maybe 1, 2, 3 goals and not 20. That you have 3 goals that you are passionate about. And then you have, on the other hand, great ideas that you want to have happen. So, you know, if I think about goals and I think about giving your word to yourself or to anybody that you're telling people that you've got this goal, I think below that, and that's about giving your word. And I started to think, you know, years ago I did a lecture with Bob Proctor and Mark Victor Hansen at one of their seminars, and they asked me to talk about commitment. And so when I started to think about commitment, you know, I almost never do anything by myself, by the way, never. I don't work or live in a vacuum. So I had to create people. And I started to think, who do I know that keeps their commitments more than anybody else I know? Whose word, who keeps their word more than anyone? And you know who I thought of? Shirley Hunt. You know, and I know this is strange, but about just before this call came on, because I'm at home, just before the call, guess who walked in the house? Now, I didn't ask her, and I was just going to tell you what she said, but she walked into the house. So hopefully you're all happy. But the person sitting next to me is Ms. Shirley Hunt, who started with the organization in 1975, has been everything in the organization. She ran Boston for a few years, then she came out here and ran marketing. She worked directly with Tom for years. She was an instructor with Psi 7 and Psi 5 many years ago, WLS. Now she is president of Psi Seminars and a very good, good friend of mine. So, Shirley, do you remember when I came and asked you? Do you remember when I came and asked you about that? Would you talk about? She asked. Let me just say, when I asked her, I said, Shirley, how do you keep commitments? How do you usually keep your word all the time? And she said, well, okay, here's Shirley.
Good evening. You know, years ago, I remember someone saying to me that hazy goals produced hazy results. That if I wasn't clear with my goals, that I would create what it was that I was thinking of. So if they weren't clear, then certainly I wouldn't achieve them. And, you know, you said something that I thought was really impactful for me just a few minutes ago, and that is giving our word to ourselves. And as I thought about that, I had to recall the conversation that you were talking about, and it was about really giving my word to myself, keeping my word, not just giving, but keeping my word. And when you asked me that, which was quite a while ago, I remember answering that I don't take something on without thinking about it. So if someone were to say, this should be your goal, or I start to think about what should my goal be, then I think about, am I committed to it? Do I really want to take it on? Can I do it? Do I want to do it? Can it fit in, you know, with my life? Does it fit in with my other goals? And then what I've done is I've done homework around it, and I think in that process, Jay,
yeah,
it causes me to get committed to the goal.
Well, I know when I ask you if you'll do something, I have to sit there and wait because you never answer fast. You never answer fast. And, you know, I know that you do that well, but I still don't do it as well as you do.
Well, I think for me, it's that once I say it, then it's important to me personally that I achieve it. It isn't just the outward manifestation. It's when I, it's like my word. A goal is my word. And, you know, once the goal is set, then I work the goal, and the goal works me. However, I don't jump into the goal without giving it some thought and knowing that it's a win-win, I can do it, it's doable, I have to do specific things. And I pride myself in making sure that my goals personally and professionally are a stretch.
Right.
It's not a safe goal.
Well, sometimes I get kind of locked into being all and doing all and helping everybody and so I say yes to too many things, like a lot of people. And then I get behind. Hey, Dori.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah? What you think about what Shirley just said? Isn't it great to have her on the call?
It is indeed. I was just sitting here thinking, well, this is pretty spectacular, an extra special guest on the call. I mean, it was really exciting and powerful to have you and the other guests that will be on the call. And now, you know, we get, I don't know, what's it's not a trifecta, that's three. What's four? I don't know what that is. But anyway, I just got it, and I'm
something.
Super excited. So as you guys were talking, I was definitely thinking about how often I will just immediately, you know, say to someone, oh, yeah, I'll do that, or, you know, I really won't take into consideration. And, you know, often I give my word that I'll accomplish something, and sometimes I don't because I don't think through the process and really, you know, look at it and see, can I accomplish this? Even, you know, even if it is a scary stretch, which, you know, that's what makes a goal exciting and, you know, something I can get passionate about sometimes is that it is definitely a stretch. But to, you know, that I'm doing it for someone else and I'm not really thinking through and when I'm making a commitment to something. And that definitely, you know, resonated with me. And the other thing that came up for me was when you were saying, Jane, that, you know, in goal setting for you, that you, if it doesn't, you know, rank for the no matter what, you know, to the goal, the, you know, the fact that if it's not going to be something that you're so excited and passionate about on a scale of 8 or 9, that you won't do it because there's just not enough juice in it for you. And, you know, you won't keep going on it. And those are two of the things that definitely came up for me.
Right, because I don't have hundreds of goals. I
right.
have major goals that are failure is not an option. And there's about 5 of those that are failure is not an option on any of those. And the other ones are great thoughts, and I'm hoping to do them. And I have, well, if I do this for the next 3 weeks or a month or whatever. And so I don't know what word you'd use rather than, because it's not really a great, it's like a tiny kind of goal.
yeah, it's a
but,
wish and not a, you know, a goal or something.
Not something that I'm going to hugely beat myself over if it doesn't happen. Because it's, you know, that's so important, our self-talk. I mean, maybe we should have one of these nights on self-talk, because it just kills us to put ourselves out there and say we're going to do something and don't do it, and then we have to beat ourselves up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when you and I were talking earlier today, I mentioned, you know, the vampires for me, in that, you know, it's the people that, like, suck things out of the dreams or the goal or, you know, something that I'm going after. And often the biggest vampire will be myself, in that, you know, my self-talk about whether or not I can get there will get in my way sometimes. So, yeah,
well,
not having...
I think that the Menahunis, when you say often, no, about 90% of the time, we are our own worst enemy. We really are.
Definitely. So I have a couple of questions for you that I'd like to just throw out there before we move on to welcoming our other guests on the call, unless you've got something else you wanted to cover right now, Jane.
No, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. So in the process of goal setting, what would you say is the most important step in the process for you?
The want has got to be, is the most most important thing for me, the want. I mean, I know they say be specific, but when you want something, you want it. You want it. You're going to be specific. You know, when that kid wanted the bicycle, he knew what it looked like. He knew what the bell sounded like. He knew what it felt like to jump on it. And the want, you don't have to make up the want, Dory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the want is there. But your job is to figure out how high the gauge is for the want. I mean, like, I want chocolate cake, or I want to have thousands of people take the basic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that want is so much higher. So you kind of have to go to your goals and judge them by your personally want, not what everybody else wants you to want or what you think that you should want, but what's your want. Maybe your want is to not the guy make all the money in the relationship and the woman stay home. Maybe it's the want is the guy wants to work part-time and his wife wants to work part-time and they have fun with their kids. Maybe the want is to make $1 million, and maybe the want is just to make enough money so you can play all the time too. I mean, we can't look. There was that story of the guy on the bottom of the hill looking up at the guy on the top of the hill. On the top of the hill, the guy had everything. He had boats and cars and planes, and his house was gorgeous. And so every day he'd come out and he'd look on the top of the hill and he'd go, wow, wish I had that. I wish I had that. You know, but the guy on the bottom of the hill had a great relationship with his kids. He went on vacations all the time and everything. And the guy on the top of the hill is looking down at the guy at the bottom of the hill playing in the backyard with his kids and going, God, I wish I could do that. I wish I had enough time to do that. I wish that would happen for me. So, you know, the want has to be what you want, not what you think you should want. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's good. And the other one thing I wanted to ask you is there any value in talking about the goal with others or creating an accountability partner, do you think?
Well, talking about the goals is one thing. Sometimes you can't talk about them and sometimes you can. If it's a new idea or a new goal, you really shouldn't share it until you're really 100%. Unless your passion's 2 or 9, don't share it with too many people. But when your goal in yourself is set 100% and you're like, failure is not enough and you're going through fire for this thing, then you need the power of other people. Create a mastermind. Brainstorm with everybody. As I said earlier, I don't work alone. I don't do anything alone. Well, I do some things alone. But when I'm creating or I'm going after goals, they're with a group of people because I want their input. I will reach out and ask anyone. I mean, if you come to the ranch and you know something, I'm going to ask you. I mean, most of the staff on the ranch could tell you that I'm whether they're there for Psi 7 or whatever, I'm going to say, what do you do? Okay, tell me about it. What can you, you know? So I'm always reaching out for people to help me get to my goals, because sometimes you can't get there by yourself. Most of the time you can't get there by yourself. You need people around. You need to create masterminds all the time. Maybe have 10 or 15 masterminds on different goals. Create friends that want the same thing, and so you kind of go there together. But you need to reach out. Most people want to do it themselves, but it's really the easier way, and the way that helps guarantee you're going to get there, is to create a team that believe in you.
Yeah, it's one of those that when you speak it, you know, when you say it out to someone else, it's like, oh, okay, now I've got to do it because it's out in the universe and, you know, people are watching. So it definitely holds
me personally
more accountable.
Yeah, it holds you accountable, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely holds me more accountable to what I said. So
that's why PLD works so well.
Absolutely.
Now, PLD, put out your personal goals. You have a whole bunch of people cheering you on. I mean, that works.
I agree. That was definitely a process that helped me accomplish a lot in my life. So, okay, well, that's the last question I have for you right now. What I'd like to do now is bring our next guest on the call, and I will be bringing Teresa Corbett on. She attended her BASIC in 1991 and started working with Psi Seminars in 92 as a PLD coordinator in Las Vegas and eventually becoming the area director. She is currently the Vice President of Field Operations, working in partnership with all the cities, and continues to facilitate PLD and PLD2 around the country. And I would like to invite Teresa on the call. Miss Teresa, are you there?
Hey, Teresa!
Yay.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome to the call.
Oh, I am so excited to be on a call around goal setting and goal achieving, because that is what I love in the game of PLD. So it's so great that we're talking about that this evening. And one of the things that I love about goals that Jane was talking about was, why do we really set goals? And I believe that if we have what we call our compelling why, like you have that why that no matter how you feel first thing in the morning, that compelling why is so strong that it causes you to get up and get moving and take a step toward that goal every day. I think that it's totally awesome to get clear about why you're going after achieving that goal.
Yes. Absolutely. And the why, and I was saying that, you know, if it doesn't have enough of that juice behind it, that when I get up against it or it's too big or, you know, I get that self-talk that we were talking about before, if my why is not big enough, then likely I'm not getting there.
Absolutely. And you'll also notice, especially in the game of PLD, when you have a team that supports you, like Jane was talking about, is that you'll see how important your goal really is to you by how you're willing to practice. Because I think that practice is the key to achieving your goals. Because I think all of us, like Jane said early on in the call, have been setting goals all our lives. And I'm going to suggest that the goals that we've actually achieved are the ones that really meant something to us, and we were willing to take action on that goal every day, doing something toward it. So when you have goals, if you pick out one goal that really matters to you, you'll see that you have lots of other smaller goals along the way. It's been my experience. So sometimes we get too many goals, like Jane was talking about earlier, and if you have your goals set up to where what is really what's important to me, and if what's important to me is this, then I am going to do that no matter what, then I have a bigger chance of achieving the goal, and I'm also willing to get up every day and do what I call practice toward getting that goal, because my reason, my compelling why for getting that goal is what keeps me going on the days when I don't feel like moving.
Absolutely. Yeah, that I'd say the why is definitely one of the things at the top of my list in setting goals for sure. anything else you'd like to share right now?
Well, the only thing I'd like to reiterate is the value of team. Together, everyone achieves more. I know it's a saying out there. However, there is so much value in a team. And whether a team is you and your partner, or whether a team is you and a small mastermind, or your team is a team of 20 people, it's much easier to come up with solutions, because lots of us know we want a goal. It's just somehow we're looking for some solutions. And when you're bouncing ideas off of a team, we're going to, together, everyone is going to achieve more. So not only are you giving to yourself, you're also giving to other people because of that saying called giver's gain. Like, if I'm in there with you on your goal and we're discussing it and we're taking action, then I'm going to gain and you're going to gain. So giver's gain is very important in my mind around goal setting also.
That's a really good point, Teresa. And talking about the mastermind, you know, I think back at times in my career, even when I was in property management and, you know, had 20 plus years in experience in that business, that the more I would bring together a team or mastermind with a group of people, the more solutions would come. And it didn't matter how much I thought I already knew or experience I thought I had bringing to the table, there was something about the mastermind and the partnership in creating solution toward a goal.
So. Oh, absolutely. Sometimes I think that we have our own glasses on and we just see the world a certain way. And if we take our glasses off and put on someone else's glasses, we'll see the goal and the solutions in a whole new light. And you just change glasses with other people, like eyeglasses. You know, you change. If I put on somebody else's eyeglasses, I'm definitely going to see the world differently. Well, you could actually see your goal differently, because when I'm working with teams of people, people will say to me, well, have you ever thought about, and then sometimes the answer is no, I've never even thought about it that way.
Right, that's a really good point. Okay, well, Ms. Teresa, if you will hang on the line with us, we're going to now move on to our next guest, which is Dan Gibbons, and after Mr. Gibbons has an opportunity to work with us, we'll be opening it up to question and answer for everyone, so please stay on the call. So, as I said, our next guest is Dan Gibbons. Dan attended his basic in 1988 and started working with SAI seminars in 1990 in Orange County. He opened the Denver SAI office in 1996 and supported several cities by facilitating their PLD programs. He left SAI to pursue other entrepreneurial opportunities, including working with Purdue University, teaching a course in conjunction with the Napoleon Hill World Learning Center based on the book of Think and Grow Rich. He came back to SAI in 2010 to oversee operations in Denver again, and we are glad to have Mr. Gibbons on the call. Dan, are you with us?
Yes, I am. What a pleasure to share the stage with Jane and Shirley and my good friend Teresa. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Dan.
Great to be on the call. Thank you, Dory. And what I was going to talk about here, Dory, is putting the committed action behind your goals. And one thing I wanted to ask real quick, Dory, are all the people on this call, are they all LS grads?
No, it's a mixture. It's just people who have attended the basic, or it might be guests of people who have attended the basic.
Okay, great. Super. Yep. Okay, because one of the things is the committed action. Jane talked about it a little bit. And going back to a goal in the basic seminar, the goals obstacle exercise, some people refer to it as the yelling and shouting exercise. But the goals obstacle exercise is a perfect example of putting committed action to your goals, because when we have goals, when they're meaningful goals, when they're challenging goals, or they're stretch goals, we're going to have those obstacles. And in the basic seminar, you got to identify what your obstacles may be and then have your obstacles challenge you. And the way to get to your goal, even in the face of those obstacles, is to just keep taking a step. And when you look back at any successful goal or any goal that's been accomplished, it's really a series of committed actions. And it's a series of committed actions where each step along the way, you get a chance to take a look at what worked, what didn't work, and what did you learn? Because not every committed action we take produces the outcome we want. And that kind of speaks to what Teresa was talking about, is the practice, that series of committed actions, taking a step each day, it is going to produce an outcome which will give you a learning experience. Some of the actions we take work and produce the outcome we want. Some of the actions we take don't work and give us feedback, so we could take a look at what worked, what didn't work, and what we learn along the way. Because I believe goals provide us two significant benefits. Number one is the accomplishment of the goal. And number two is what you become, you know, who you become as a person through the process of achieving that goal. So goals provide two significant benefits there. And then, you know, listening to Shirley and talking about, you know, I don't take something on. Shirley said she doesn't take something on unless she's really committed to it. And also Jane spoke about, you know, your why, and so did Teresa. That's a big thing about, you know, the want to versus the have to. The desire, what do you desire rather than what should I do? What do I think I should, you know, there's a lot of times we get caught up in should goals or have to goals. And as Teresa mentioned, you know, Teresa talked about this also. I find that people don't procrastinate on goals, on the goals that they really, really want or desire. You know, when you get into the have-to goals or the should goals, you're doing it because you think you should do it. Those are the goals where you see people procrastinating. So I often say to people, you know, when you're thinking about working on a goal, it's kind of like ordering a pizza. You know, Teresa and I work with a lot of people in PLD, and sometimes people come in and PLD and they'll say, I really don't know what I want. Well, imagine calling a pizza place to order a pizza, and they answer the phone and they say, you know, what do you want? What kind of pizza do you want? And you're like, really not sure. Really not sure what kind of pizza I want. Just send me whatever you got. And then what usually happens when you get the pizza that they send you, you know, people will complain that it's got onions on it, or it's got peppers, or it's got all this stuff on there they don't want. So I say it's as simple as ordering a pizza. Figure out what you want on the pizza, i.e. figure out what you want as a goal, what you want, because I always tell my people in PLD, when you set the goal, it's like ordering the pizza. In PLD, you're going to eat the pizza. So make sure you like the pizza. You know, make sure you order up the kind of pizza you want. And then one other thing I wanted to talk about in regards to goals, and it's another great exercise that we do at our leadership classes and SAI seminars, and that's being clear about where your point A is. So many times when working with people on goals, I see that they're not really clear about where their point A is. Well, it's very difficult to get to point B if you don't know where your point A is, if you're not clear about your point A. And also, part of being at point A is what are the resources that you're going to need to get from point A to point B. We do a very powerful exercise on that in the leadership course. But it's also very critical in setting goals to know where your point A is, so that you could assess the resources that you'll need to get to your point B. So that's about what I had to say about goals, and what a great time to be talking about it going into the new year. And I certainly would agree with what Jane and Teresa were talking about. The best place to get some big goals done is in PLD, so that you get the support of the team. And Teresa talked about, we have our own set of glasses on. Sometimes we don't see other solutions right in front of us, and that's the beauty of the team. Teresa and I will both tell you, Dory, that we have seen hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people, get their goals in PLD, and a lot of times it didn't look anything like they thought it was going to look.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Yes, indeed. Well, you know, when I started the call tonight, I said that I knew we'd get an opportunity to learn quite a bit on this call, and I, you know, fast and furiously writing some notes and things that definitely resonated with me that you said, Dan, as well. And one of those things was committed action. You know, often it's just putting that one foot in front of the other and just moving, you know, and versus getting paralyzed over, oh, you know, it's so big or whatever. It's just a committed action to, you know, to that end result. And, you know, I definitely appreciated what you said about that. And then one of the other things that definitely, you know, shined for me was the person that I become because of the goal. You know, that because of setting really big and really good goals that, you know, stretch me, it's the person that I become because of achieving the goal. And,
right.
You know, that definitely sinks in with me that, you know, when I look at my life and have set some pretty big goals, that, you know, it's at the end of that when you get the goal and you get to stand in that new space of what's been created, you know, just into who I am because of that. So I definitely appreciate your insight into those things. And would you like to add anything else, Dan, before we open it up to questions?
Just what you were talking about who you become, one of the things that I work on now when I'm setting goals is planning, and Jane talked a little bit about this. You know, Jane talked about, I was taking notes there, I looked back at my notes here, Jane, we're talking about the me goals. And in regards to that, now when I set a goal, or oftentimes when I set a goal, I plan some joy and enjoyment into the goal. Like, how could I accomplish this goal? And, you know, if my goal is to, you know, let's say I was going to go do a PLD in Las Vegas or something, you know, how could I bring my son along with me or my wife and make it a weekend and accomplish that goal of getting a PLD weekend done and also do some things with my family? So I always
I totally agree with you, Dan. I mean, I would set up my calendar and look at Janessa's calendar and see when she was off school. And then my goal, like if I wanted to do like five workshops, I would do those workshops, but I'd make sure that she was off and she could travel with me. So, yeah, I mean, you really, with a little thought, you can really combine a lot of those goals. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I mean, just in the last year, Jane, I've taken Vincent to Washington, D.C., and Wilmington, North Carolina, and all of these places around the country just by planning some joy and enjoyment into the goal and getting something significant done that I want to get done, and then also bringing him along. So he's gone on all kinds of trips with me this year around my business goals. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun planning that joy and enjoyment into it.
How old is he?
Vincent is 9 years old. And let me share with you, because I showed this to Shirley. I was bragging to Shirley last week when I saw her. I showed her some pictures of my 9-year-old. He just got his black belt in karate. It took him 4 years. He started when he was 5 years old. And I'll always remember the first test when he went from his white belt to his yellow belt. I'll never forget what Master Cross, a 6-degree black belt, said to all those new kids that were just moving up to their very first belt. He said to them, and I'll never forget it, he said, a black belt is just a white belt who never gave up.
Oh, great.
That's really good.
It's too
really
bad
good.
Right now, Dan. I can't take Janessa with me because then I have to take her. Street cribs, 17 this and this and that. I mean, traveling with a 3-year-old and 2 4-month-olds is like, I don't want to go.
Yeah, it's a whole new way to look at travel now, isn't it, Jane?
Absolutely, honey. Can we open it up to some questions? I'd love to hear.
We certainly can. So if you're on the line and would like to ask a question of anyone that's on the panel tonight, what you need to do is hit *61. Let me turn on the question and answer. So you will now have an opportunity. If you'd like to ask a question, hit *61 on your phone, and you will go into the queue, and I will pull you into the call to ask a question. So hit *61. Okay. So we have, it looks like George at an 808 number. George, are you on the call?
This is probably George's wife. We both took basic together.
Okay, excellent. And your name is?
I'm Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the call. And what's your question?
My question is, what happens if you have a limited, you know, when you talk about a team, what happens if your team is, like, somewhat limited?
What do you mean limited?
Well, you know, I mean, maybe I didn't want to share my goal with my husband, but it's something that I really want to achieve. So I don't have a large network of friends. So what are some resources for?
Oh, I'll have to think about that. Teresa, Dan, I'm thinking. You got any ideas?
Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was going to say, you go ahead, and I'll add anything, you know, after you. So go ahead, T.
Well, I think that sometimes we think we don't have a lot of support around a goal or sharing a goal when we actually do. So Cindy, it is, yes?
Yes.
So, Cindy, you have been to the basic, yes?
Yes.
So because you've been to the basic, what about somebody from your basic seminar that was in your microgroup or your microgroup leader? Sometimes when it comes to sharing a goal and getting support, you can get support from a place where that person has already achieved the goal, and sometimes you have to take a risk and ask them to share their success with you. One of the things that we work with is in PLD is asking people to take risk, and through asking people to take risk, you might have to actually go and talk to a successful person who's accomplished the goal, yet you don't even know them. So that could be a new support system for you. So it's
absolutely
always about looking at solutions.
No, that's
right.
a good one. Sometimes you have to reach out to people that have accomplished it. You know, most people that I know that have been there don't ever mind giving advice on people trying to get there. Does that help?
It does. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Cindy.
Anybody else?
Okay. Yep. I have Kenneth. Kenneth, are you on the call? I have a Kenneth at a 972 number.
Oh, AirSim. Margaret, me.
Oh, hi. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to the call this evening.
Yahoo. I have a question, which is, and I probably you've answered it, but I just want to see if there's any other thoughts you have around it. When you're going for goals and other things intervene, do you just, for instance, health issues that have to be, and so then my goal has to switch to, oh, I have to do this first. I mean, it seems confusing, like I'm muddying the waters by having to stop and do all these other things.
Oh, no,
when I want to keep going straight ahead. So, I mean, how do you just, put a pause on the other while you take care of all these other needs?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you're passionate about a goal, you just kind of put it next to you. I mean, it's not in full force. It's kind of on pause for a few minutes. And so you take care of the health goal. You take care of a baby screaming or a baby sick, or take care of whatever has really jumped up that you can't get rid of. And that other goal stays with you. And what you do is you constantly are looking at it and go, okay, every morning you're looking at it and saying, is there anything changing? Can I get on that one yet? Can I get on this other goal yet? No, okay. Then you just kind of pat it, pat the goal, keep it alive, feed it some water, and just leave it right next to you. But you
love that.
Once you got a goal that you're still passionate about, I mean, you just put it on hold for a little while. Okay.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. I love that visual. Thank you so much.
Good.
Thank you, Margaret. Okay, and we have a caller from Florida. Caller from Florida?
Yep, I'm here. This is Jamie.
Hi, is it Jamie or Janie?
Jamie.
Oh, hi, Jamie. Welcome to the call. What's your question?
Thank you. My question is, one thing that I noticed that I really started to work through, I'm an LS grad as well, I got into this phase of really setting goals and accomplishing the big scary goals, and instead of celebrating when I accomplished them, I felt really guilty because other people hadn't, or it was that whole, like, did I deserve to? So I kind of went through a year of self-sabotage, and I can tell now, like, I'm completely out of it, and I'm resetting goals, and I'm accomplishing them, and I'm getting excited, but I still get pulled back into that, like, guilty phase of accomplishing the goals. And I think a lot of it is I don't want to leave anybody behind. So I'm sure you guys have kind of gone through that when you've gone through that bout of momentum and success. And do you have any suggestions on that?
Do you remember the crab story in The Basic?
The flea?
No, the crab story.
No.
I know they slip that sometimes. But, you know, Dan, how do you handle that when you get pulled back in?
Well, and she was talking about just feeling guilty also, and that's again, you know, I don't want to turn this into a PLD commercial or whatever, but that's, you know, why being in PLD is so powerful, because, you know, Jamie, you said you're an LS grad, so
mm-hmm.
you've done the basic, you've done size 7, you've done LS, you know.
And PLD.
Yeah, and PLD. So, you know, like just in the basic alone, there's, you know, 25, 30 lectures. If you ask somebody to name them all, you'd be lucky if they could name a handful of them. So if they could only name a handful of them, how many do you think they're really grounded in? I mean, just because somebody played the red-black game once in the basic seminar, that doesn't mean they're now forever grounded in win-win. And so, you know, in PLD and in your life, you get to practice win-win every day. So you will have those ups and you will have those downs. And I think for me, a key point is not to get too up, you know, when you do have a big win, not to get too up when you have a big win, and not to get too down when you have a setback. See if you could, you know, kind of flatten out the roller coaster ride a little bit so you don't have these huge highs and these really low lows. See if you could level out the roller coaster a little bit. Is that kind of speak to what you're up against?
A little bit. That was one thing Renee was actually trying to get me on the roller coaster, because she said I don't celebrate the wins and I don't celebrate the losses. I just kind of go.
Okay, Jamie, I think you need some more friends, because it sounds like some of the friends that you're around are not at your level of moving forward into, you know, getting committed to things. So,
mm-hmm.
So how about getting out there, not losing the other ones? I'm not saying that. But you got to have the stronger team yelping and yelling and congratulating. Yay, Jamie! That's got to be more than the friends going, oh, I wish I could not. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to go get some friends that are heading in the same direction that you are. So
mm-hmm,
if
yeah.
you happen to have a friend around that goes, oh, God, you know, look at you showing off, you can go, oh, yeah, but then you've got your 17 friends over here that are going, hey, girl, go for it. Because you can't live in that.
Right.
Yeah, that's
yeah, you wait a whole year.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jane. I was thinking about, you know, if you're feeling guilty, I think it would be hard for you to feel guilty, Jamie, if you had friends around you that were saying, you know, hey, good for you, congratulations, I'm excited for you. If you had friends around you saying that, I think it would be difficult for you to feel guilty about a good goal you accomplished.
Okay, honey?
Yeah,
that's
true. Very true.
Those will be pushing you towards more goals.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so your next goal
is
to get some people that are making more money than you are, and to have, you know, if you want more money, you got to hang around with people make more money than you. If you want better relationships, you can't hang around with, you know, a husband and wife that's fighting all the time. You got to hang around with a couple that are really doing well. I mean,
exactly.
If you want to hang, if you want to get happier, you got to hang around with happier. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's I agree with you, Jane, on that it's something to aspire to, you know, and that it's people pulling you up instead of pulling you back. That's going to be an important part for her. So that I think that was a great direction to take that. So we'll take one more call here. I've got a Rebecca on the line.
Wow, I didn't think I'd get through.
Well, actually, there you go, Rebecca, you got through.
This is a
welcome
surprise.
To the call.
I was actually calling because Jamie just called.
Oh.
And I was at a party this last Friday night, and a person said the very same thing to me. You need to hang around better friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that I've been hanging with, I wouldn't even say hanging with, but very catty women that don't want to see other people succeed without tearing
mm-hmm.
them down.
So how would you answer that, Shirley? You're right here.
I think it's actually been answered, meaning that it depends on what. I remember years ago when I was going through working with the philosophy, and someone said to me, I said, well, the philosophy is a bubble. And that person said, yes, it is a bubble. And there's bubbles all over the world, all over the United States, and that is there are positive bubbles, there are negative bubbles, there are growing bubbles, there are decaying bubbles. So I think it goes back to, for me personally, what bubble do I choose to live in?
Mm.
And for me, it's, you know, I work diligently on being in a positive bubble, surrounded with people that are moving forward, and so it becomes a positive growing bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom used to say, when you're in a group and somebody goes negative, you got to do all the talking. It was.
That's good. I like that. Well, thank you very much for
your
time.
Thanks, Dory, for hosting this call. That was great. I had a good time.
Okay. So would either any of you like to add anything?
No, just if they need to add anything, they know where to send the email, right, to you, to that, whatever it is.
Yes.
It's the reply to the to the email that they got. Also, how about on the next email, if you're there, could you get some of your friends to be on too? That's the way. Everybody said they needed some more positive friends. You got to reach out, you know? Yeah. So try to get them on the call. Maybe at your house, put them on speaker so you can have a party, and then you can all talk afterwards. And that's the beginning of a mastermind team, guys. So maybe we could have, you know, you could have a house with 10 people or 5 people. Just invite them to the next conference call and then have a conversation later. So God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful holiday.
Well, thank you. And if you're a guest on the call and you would like additional information about PSY Seminars or to keep in touch with what's happening in your city, you can go to PSYseminars.com. And also, we'd love to have you go on Facebook and go to PSY Seminars on Facebook or Jane Wilhite on Facebook and become a friend and a fan. We definitely put information up there all the time. Our next call is planned for Tuesday, January 11th. Where we will continue exploring goal setting. We're going to do a little study series on the works of Thomas D. Wilhite, Napoleon Hill, and Earl Nightingale. So be watching your email for that opportunity to register for that free series. I want to thank you for joining us this evening. Again, I'd like to thank Teresa and Dan and Jane and our unexpected guest, Shirley, for joining us this evening and for really sharing a really important message, especially going into the new year. I want to thank you all very much. And in closing, happy holidays to you and your loved ones, and I wish you a good night.